I have Jason, is it Colt? Jason Colt of Church, also known as Baby Jace. Call him Jason. He is just, is it 5 weeks yet? A month Friday. Uh-oh, we don't like something. He is a sweetheart, I tell you what. What do we think of when we see babies? Besides crying. Innocence. Innocence. You know, and have you ever noticed that babies will make us do weird things? Like we'll go, oh, what's the matter? And we'll talk funny. What's the matter? What you want to do with Patsy? We'll do all kinds of goofy stuff, right? Oh, we'll even breathe for him. And because what can this little guy do for himself? He can tell us he wants mama. He can tell us he's hungry, right? He doesn't say that, but we know by his actions that's what he probably wants. There he goes. He's good. Looky there. See there? Which is kind of trial and error with babies, isn't it? We're going to start a sermon series today entitled The Six Looks of Jesus. And I think I have the first slide. There it is. The Six Looks at Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at six different aspects over the next 6 weeks of who Jesus is and was. And the first of these is that we're going to look at is baby. Because Jesus came as a baby, right? And why? Why did he have to come as a baby? Oh. He's super precious. He's precious. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that have had babies or have babies, when you look at this little child that I'm holding in my hand here, and as a parent, let me ask you. Well, let me just ask Aaron. Aaron is Jace's mother, by the way. Would you be willing to say right now, walk up to some homeless teenage couple who's living in a evil and dangerous situation and say, hey, why don't you raise my son and just turn him over? You wouldn't do that, would you? Why? He's yours. He's yours. And he needs you, right? And he you got to protect him. You have to provide all these things that he needs, the nourishment, the protection, and the clothing, and the shelter, and all of that stuff. But you see, that's just what God did. He took his son like this and said, here, I trust you with my son. And we need to understand that. You know, when we especially at Christmas time, I'm going to go ahead and let you have him back here. He's so sweet and cuddly. Especially at Christmas time, we think of the baby, right? Because, thank you for that. I hold him every chance I get. I want him to like me when he grows up. A lot of times at Christmas, we think of the baby, right? And then that's the only time we think of the baby. And then at Easter comes, we think of Jesus on the cross. And we have these moments that we picture these different aspects of Jesus, but there are some people that never get past the fact that Jesus was a baby. Why a baby? Why did Jesus come as a baby? He could have been as a man. God could have just made Jesus manifest among us as a man. All of a sudden, people would be walking around and go, hey, who are you? He said, well, I'm the Christ. I've been here. I just got here. Came straight from heaven. This guy here landed, and I'm the Messiah, and I'm here to save you. He could have done that. Why did he choose a baby? He could have picked a good man that already existed, right? He could have picked a good man and said, now you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And there's some, actually, people that believe that that's what happened with Jesus, that he was a boy and grew up and became a man, and then when he got baptized, he became the Christ. And That's out there. That's not scriptural. That's not biblical. But there's some people that believe that. But why did God not do it that way? Well, because he chose a baby. And we're back to the same question. Why choose a baby? Why send the Creator? Listen, Scripture tells us that all creation was made through him, for him, and by him. Jesus. So why send the Creator into the creation and make him vulnerable, susceptible to that creation? Why do that? Why do that? Babies need a lot of care. They need to be fed. They need to be cleaned, given shelter, clothed, protected, changed their diaper, their swaddling clothes, whatever have you. They need to be changed. When Zachary was little, Zachary, who turns 19 years old tomorrow, by the way, been a long time ago. Been a struggle. But 19 years ago, when we brought Zachary home from the hospital, he was our first child, and we were just going to do things the right way. We're going to be perfect. And we got cloth diapers. Anybody remember cloth diapers? When Aaron came along, we used Pampers. No more of that cloth stuff, because that's nasty. That's messy. And they, did y'all know that on babies, Aaron, have you found out that you have to use more than one diaper a day? You do. When they say 8 to 10 pounds, they're not saying that that's how much they hold. They're saying that that's the size of the baby. And it took me a while to figure that out. Not really. But still, they need a lot of care. And if you don't tend to those things, if you leave the baby in a wet diaper, what's going to happen? Diaper rash, crying, all that stuff, right? You have to tend to them. They take a lot of care. Why send the Savior of the world into a world that he would need to be saved from every day? Why would the most powerful being in existence make himself so vulnerable? I came across a thing where whoever wrote this article asked some children, why did Jesus come as a baby? Casey, age 9, says, I think a baby is a sign of love. God sent our Savior as a baby because when babies are born, everybody thinks they're special. Yes, babies are a sign of love, but there's more to the story, says Richard, age 9. God sent our Savior as a baby because kings would want to kill him. And if he was big, they could track him more easily. He's got a good point, right? If he was big, he could be tracked. God sent our Savior as a baby because he wanted to show us that God is our mighty God and that even a baby could lead us to the right path, says Carly, age 11. Some wisdom in that. God's way is different, says Stuart, age 12. If Jesus did not come as a baby, people would be convinced immediately that he was. If Jesus didn't come as a baby, people would not be convinced immediately that he was the Son of God. I think God came as a baby because he wanted us to know that he is humble and he is a servant, says Will, age 11. In your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at two different passages in Hebrews, chapter 2 and chapter 4. But the first one is in chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. In this passage, chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death we might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants, that's you and me. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, I believe what I'm going to look at, there are many reasons, I believe, why God sent Jesus Christ into this world as a baby. I'm just going to talk about two of them this morning. There are many. I think one reason that God sent Jesus Christ into this world as a baby is because we need to be able to identify. We all crave to identify with something or someone, right? Walk into the store. You've got t-shirts that are advertising somebody, right? If you're a football fan, you can go get your player's jersey number, right? And have his name across your back. If you're a NASCAR fan, you can go get your driver's number and shirt and face, even hat, whatever. I mean, they make a lot of money doing this. They sell all kinds of stuff. You just got to be careful where you wear your driver's number some places, right? But if you want, I mean, we've got some of you are wearing shirts this morning that advertise or talk about maybe a passage of scripture or something like that. We all want to identify with something or someone. When we play with children, what do? If we've got some 3- and 4-year-olds, what do when we play with them? David, what do with 3- and 4-year-olds? There you go. We get down on their level. Mentality and actions, physically, we'll get down on our hands and knees so that we can look them in the eye, right? And we play with them down here, and we play patty cake or whatever we do. Read a story, we tell a story. We play cars, or we do whatever. We get down on their level. I remember when Zachary was smaller and younger, we would wrestle. But I had to get down on my knees, because then we were eye to eye and we could wrestle and he could beat me and stuff. Yeah, right. We get on the floor. We stoop down in order to be like them. Listen, that'll preach, folks. We stoop down in order to be like them so they'll accept us. Oh, that's deep. That's deep. That's what Jesus did. Children love to be able to say they're the same as adults. Right? They want to be like us. They crave to be like us. They like it when we enter their world. And they can identify with ours. I have a couple more slides I want to show you. This one is about a week old right there, right after they came home from the hospital. And that's me holding Jason Colt Upchurch. All right, the next one. This is Grayson. Y'all know Grayson, right? And when I talk about, I mean, he wasn't trying to imitate me or anything like that, but he came and he had a red shirt on and he recognized that. He was like, we're like the same. I see you. We have the same clothes on. So we got a picture. That was cool. He wants to be the same. I stuck my thumb out and stuck his thumb out and look, where's he looking? He wants to make sure he's doing it right. I love that picture. I love that picture. The next one. Oh, you know her. This is my daughter. This is Erin. We have the same shirt. And we went on a little date and we wanted to dress the same because she wanted to be able to identify with me. I wanted to be able to identify with her. Sometimes people will go through extreme measures to identify with something, right? I mean, they do. Some people will go, I mean, look at this next one. Yeah, some people will even shave their head so they'll look like their son. That's cute. We want to be able to identify. Listen, God knew that we needed to be able to identify with Him in order to desire Him and to imitate Him. He knew. Listen, if God is this far off, unapproachable, unattainable thing, how can we even fathom any identification with Him at all? So He said, I'm going to come. I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to be better than you, but I'm going to be like you. I'm going to do the same stuff that you have to do. I'm going to go through the same things that you have to go through. I'm going to enter your world as one of you so that you can identify with me. Very important. Very important that He did that. The second reason I'm going to speak of today is I believe that Jesus came as a baby was to show his humanity. That's so that we could identify with the human side of God. When God made himself human and came among us as an innocent, helpless baby that needed to be taken care of. It showed his humanity. We see Jesus as a baby in a manger. Then we see him later as a child in the temple and as a young man beginning his ministry. We see him in the desert wrestling with temptation. And all of this, listen, all of this was to show that he can sympathize and empathize with our struggles. He felt everything you and I feel. He struggled with what we struggle with. He even faced death, which we will all face unless he comes back before then. He came as a baby in order to deal with the same fears and challenges and trials that we all deal with. Could you identify with a God who couldn't really identify with you? That's why Jesus came as a baby. That's why Jesus didn't just appear on earth as a man, because he needed us to know that he's been where we've been, even as a baby before we can remember, being vulnerable and susceptible to this world. That's what Jesus did also, so that we could say, ah, yeah, Jesus was here in my place. I can identify with that. I can see that. I can follow that. I can trust in that. Further on down in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." You see, Jesus Christ came so that he came in a form and a fashion so that he would do everything, be exposed to everything that you and I are exposed to, feel everything, feel hurt, frustration, hunger, all of those things, so that we can identify with that and say, yes, he did. He stooped down into my world so that we could see face to face. We are bought with a price that could have never been paid without the full burden of humanity being accepted on Jesus Christ. If he had been God only, if God had come down in spirit form and said, "Here I am," if he had done that, his sacrifice would have been cheap and unconvincing. And here's why I say that. Can God die? So what does it mean for a God who cannot die to come down and say, "Here I am. Go ahead and put me on a cross. I'm dying for your sins." Does that make sense to us? No. It would be unconvincing because it would be like, "Well, you're God. You can't die anyway. What difference does it make? How can we put you on a cross? How could they even nail you to the cross? And if they did, it's not going to kill you. What kind of sacrifice is that?" It would be cheap and unconvincing. But listen, if he had been only man, his sacrifice would have had no power. He would have been just like 10,000 other martyrs who have done that, been killed for their faith. But he was a man, and he was God. And he's therefore everything we need. Everything we need wrapped up into one. Sometimes I still struggle to get my mind around that. And you may think it strange to hear your preacher saying he still struggles to get his mind wrapped around some stuff. I do. I confess it to you. I think if you're honest, you would say the same thing, because here's what it takes. It takes faith. I don't know how all this stuff works. I just believe that it does. I just believe that God's word is true. And if he says it so, then I believe it. He came as a child to confront and conquer every challenge and every temptation common to humanity. We trust him with our lives because he was God. To make the full sacrifice on our behalf, Jesus had to make the full commitment on his behalf. He did come as a baby. He did come as a baby. We read about it. He was made like us in every way so that we could become like him. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to become Christs. That's a different religion. But we're to imitate him. We're to be Christ-like. And someday, our resurrected body will be resurrected body like his resurrected body. If you know him. He identified with us so that we could identify with him. He became human like us so that we could have eternal life with him. Have you identified with Jesus Christ? I don't know the details of your life. I don't know the details of your faith. I don't know the details of your spiritual life. I can only ask, have you identified with Jesus Christ? Have you taken God's word and said, yes, I can understand that. Jesus came as a baby. It still boggles my mind why he would do that. Become susceptible to the creation that he knew had become evil. Put himself vulnerable to that creation and said, I just trust you. Because you need to see this. You need to see that I'm willing to go to whatever it takes to redeem you back to myself. Did you know that? That's what he did for you. That's why he came as a baby. Because he saw you and said, wherever you are going to need a redeemer. And this is the only way to make it happen. I have to come and be just like you, but better. So that you can have a role model, so you can have an example, and you can see that it can be so. And then, because I'm innocent, I'm going to be hung on a tree. I'm going to be killed because of that. And that's the sacrifice that I'm willing to make for you so that you can be with me forever. That's the gospel story, folks. And it starts with Jesus Christ as a baby. He came as a baby. He didn't stay there. He didn't stay a baby. He grew up. He grew up, did some amazing things, and then did the most amazing thing ever in history. That is, he bought you. He bought you at the price of his own life. God Almighty came as a baby for one reason. Did you know that? It all boils down to this. Jesus came into this world as a baby so that he could grow up and be killed. Part of God's plan for you. For you. Have you identified? Jesus has done, listen, Jesus has done everything it takes for him to be able to identify with you. He came. He was made just like you. The question is, have you identified with him? Have you looked him in the face and said, I accept what you've done for me. I thank you that you've done what you did for me. That because without that, I would have no hope of ever knowing you, no hope of spending eternity with you in heaven. And I thank you for that. I accept you as my Lord, as my Savior. And because you want to forgive me of all the sins I've ever done, I believe that and I accept that. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. I give my life to you. Whatever you say, from now on goes. You're the boss. Have you ever done that? If not, friend, that's where your story begins. That's the only story you have begins with Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you have no story. You have no future. Don't get me wrong. There's a future there. There's definitely a future there. It's hot. But a future without Christ is no future. I'll tell you that right now. Jesus Christ said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. The question you have to answer is he right? Do I believe it? Do I believe the Bible where it says that Jesus is the only way to heaven? If so, what have you done about that? What have you done about it? It starts with the baby. He identified with you. Have you identified with him? Maybe you've done that. There may be maybe a time in your life when you did that. Maybe when you got back from youth camp and you came back and you were all fired up and because you heard some good preaching and some good Christian music, and you made some friends, and you kissed a girl behind the cafeteria, and or if you were a girl, maybe you kissed a boy behind the cafeteria. Whatever it is, and you came back and you went, oh, this is heaven. I love Jesus, and I walked the aisle, and I shook the hand, and I got baptized, and I went to Sunday school, and maybe that was you. And maybe you find yourself sitting here today saying, you know what? He asked a very serious question. Have I ever identified with him? And I don't know that I really ever have. Or maybe I did identify with him, but then I just kind of got sidetracked and I lost my identification. I don't know really where I am. I don't know where I belong now. I want to come back to Christ. I want to come back to the one who made himself like me so that I can be made like him. I want to come back to that. I want to start fresh. Guess what? He is in the refreshing, restarting business. And he'll do that with you, wherever you are. He loves you. Like I told you a while ago, he stopped at nothing. Listen, if more had been required of him to guarantee your salvation, he would have done it. He did everything necessary so that you can make a choice. Now you got to make that choice. And it's yours. It's yours. You get to make it. Have you made it? Have you chosen Jesus Christ? We're going to sing just a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. Very simple little story. Very simple little message. The baby Jesus. His humanity, yet and still we don't understand it all, how the fully human and can be fully God at the same time. But it's so. And he did that. The only one who could ever do that to guarantee your salvation. What are you doing with it? What have you done with it? The choice is yours. I encourage you this. Let me encourage you, don't leave without answering that question. If you choose to walk out that door and say, yep, Brother Mike, I understand that what you said, that Jesus is the only way, and I just choose not to believe it. At least walk out of here knowing that. That sounds bad, me saying for you to walk out of here without Christ. But don't walk out of here wishy-washy, because it's the same thing. See, we don't get that. It's the same thing. Walking out of here going, oh, man, I don't know. Should I, should or not? I don't know. And you walk out of here saying, nope, I refuse to believe it. It's the same thing, because there is no gray area. The other alternative is to say, yes, I believe. Yes, I want that. I need that. I'm at a point in my life where I recognize I can't go without him, and I need him. He's done whatever it takes to guarantee my salvation. I want to do whatever it takes to make sure I'm identified with him. I want to make sure that he's got me inscribed on the palm of his hand. I want him inscribed on my heart. Whatever it takes, I want to do that. Some of you need to do that right now. Let's go ahead and start singing. Y'all stand up. It's not delayed, because somebody in this room needs to get right with Jesus. Is that you?
Jesus.
You come.
Jesus. Jesus. There's just something.